Amen. I was just getting comfortable back there. I didn't realize it was going to be over this quickly. Take your Bibles, please. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, please. All right, all the college, raise your hand, please. All right. High school. In the middle school. Okay. You, the college, young people, you're at one place in life, obviously. The high school, you're at a different stage in life. Middle school, still playing some video games, I guess. Wait a minute. If you're in high school and you still play video games, raise your hand. All right. If you are in middle or you are in college, you still play games, raise your hand. On your phones. All right, everyone who has graduated and you're in some station in life and you play video games on your phone, raise your hand. The rest of y'all better quit lying in the Lord's house. We are in God's house. We're in God's house. I play Clash of Clans. I don't mind telling you I'm really good at it. Amen. I am the clan leader of CBC Empire. If you want to join our clan, sorry. Can't do it. And I just lost 1.5 million coins at 8-ball pool last night. So, Brother James, where are you? Dr. Vassell, sorry. So I need revival after losing those coins last night. You wouldn't believe some of the things I said. Miss Amy, she is in the place of the Holy Spirit in my house, and she does a good job. Hey, Dr. Pitts was just telling me his age a minute ago, and I'm telling you what, I can't believe that he has already turned 40. That is amazing to me. But 25 years ago this week was my first week at the college. That's hard to believe. I worked really hard on finding this document. I worked really hard. I mean, I went online in Chicago. I called Dr. Carter, talked with him for a while about this. I took a lot of work, found this document. This was our greeting 25 years ago to the college. Here we go. Welcome students to Landmark Baptist College. We look forward to working together with you in the process of sharpening your life to a place where you will be mightily used of God now as well as in the future. You can expect to face some real challenges, but you can also expect to have many blessings of the Lord during your time here. Notice, time here almost sounds like jail, doesn't it? During your time here. It is our goal to train servants of God, not spectators sitting on the sidelines. And to that we say, there are three kinds of people in this world: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder, what just happened? By God's grace, you will be one of those that make things happen. We are here to help with that. You are not children any longer, so do not behave like a child. And to that, all the professors say, So, be in class on time. Early is on time. On time is late. Complaining has never helped a situation anywhere in life, and it will not help things here either. So please refrain from all complaining. Where is the dean of students? We have a dean of students. Okay, perfect. Perfect. If there is a legitimate need to complain, please schedule a time to see the dean of students, which is happy to listen carefully to each complaint during class time on August 32nd. All absences are approved for these appointments, and all work missed will be waived, understanding that you are having a difficult time. Understand also that there are white glove inspections at a moment's notice. These are designed to help you to be instant in season and out of season, always ready to give an answer to why it looks like Hurricane Katrina parked in your dorm room for 3 days. Always remember this: attitude determines altitude. Outlook determines outcome. So even when your school bill is due and there's not enough money in your account to buy a happy, or you just studied the wrong chapter for your verse quiz, or you forgot your Bible in a rush to get to class on time, and then you're greeted by an overexcited classmate that debates things just for the sake of debating, please remember it is at this point that our words must always minister grace to the hearer. You will make lifelong friends here at Landmark Baptist College, and we look forward to being a help to you. We expect great things for you and from you. Just a little tongue-in-cheek there this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Somebody tell me what's going on in this chapter. David and Goliath. How many messages have you heard about David? If you've heard more messages about David than you have received demerits this year, raise your hand. All right. If you have more demerits this year than messages you've heard about David, raise your hand. Oh, we got a few. We'll be praying for a revival in your life. Amen. I don't think I need to tell you that David in 1 Samuel 17, this was a great time in David's life. And it doesn't matter if you're middle school, it doesn't matter if you're in high school or college, whatever your station is at life right now. And by the way, that's the best time of your life. I heard a lot of people say, well, the best years of my life were years ago. No, those years are done. And you can't live the years that are ahead. You can only live the days that you have right now. So these are your best days right now. Don't ever look forward to greater times as far as one day life is going to be great. No. Life's great right now. Life's great. Look at your situation. I promise you, it won't take you less than a minute. You can find someone with a much worse situation than yours. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I just want to very quickly tell you some things about David. These are the times of greatness in this chapter. There are other great things in David's life, obviously. But this chapter, I want to talk to you about in these different people's lives that hopefully we'll get to most of it. You're going to have a place of greatness, a place of greatness. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse number 29. We know the background, so I won't go into all of it. David shows up to the battle. Goliath has been for 40 days standing out there, mocking the Jews, mocking their way of life, ridiculing them. But the worst thing he's done in the last 40 days, he's been mocking God, mocking the Lord. By the way, there's some things we ought to get mad at, and that ought to be one of them. However, there are some things that we ought to be mad at, but let's control ourselves, amen? Even in the anger, righteous indignation, control yourself in that. But I want to look at a few things about David's life. Look, first of all, at verse number 29, and David said, as he shows up, he's wanting to get into the fray. He's wanting to get into the fight, and he's ridiculed by his older brother, which should have actually been out doing the fighting himself. David shows up with a snack, amen? And he's not encouraged, he's ridiculed. The Bible says after he is ridiculed, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Man, that's a moment of greatness. You know, a lot of people fall away when they're pressed. David did not shrink away, he stood up. And we need some young people, even though there are people that are their peers that will look down upon them, stand up. Stand up for what's right in a time when it's right. Do that. This was a time of greatness. Is there not a cause? Look at verse number 32. We find another point. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Everybody else is afraid, but I'm not. Another moment of greatness. Look at verse number 45. The Bible says, then said David to the Philistine, I love this conversation, not a lot said, but a lot said. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So what's happening here? David is facing down Goliath. We know the rest of the story. David takes that stone, and I have no idea why he had five stones. Everybody has an answer to that. I don't. I just say he was prepared. Amen. David took care of business. He runs and he stands upon, the Bible says, he stands upon Goliath, raises that head up. What a moment of greatness. So, Brother Tony, that's all fine and well. It is all fine and well because it leads to the number one hit song on the charts. Saul hath killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That's real good. You know, the place of greatness is a place where it's pleasant. It's a place where it's pleasant. The place of greatness is a place that's preferred. The place of greatness is also a place where it's painless. The place of greatness. So where was David before this? David was not at the place of greatness. David was in the place of preparation. It's not a lot of fun in the place of preparation, you know? College students, you're going to be in a church not too long from now. Trust me, this time will go by faster than what you think. High schoolers, this time will go by faster than what you think. Middle schoolers, it will go by faster than what you think. I'm not 40. I'll be 52 this year. And I'm telling you, that time went by faster than what I thought. I remember the smells when I walked across Winter Haven High School football field when I got my diploma that night. I remember what the ground smelled like. I remember the ominous clouds. It was about to rain. We were wondering if we were going to get rained down or not. It was like it was yesterday. That's been a long time now. A long time. All of that time to now, God was preparing Brother Tony. All along the way. And God's preparing you for something. What that something is, I do not know. But I want to tell you about the place of preparation. In David's life, the place of preparation, first of all, was a place of desolation. What do you mean, Brother Tony? He was always by himself, nobody ever around. There were, most of the time, David hung around with the sheep. Sure, he went home at night, but there were times when the old wolf would come at night. He had to go take care of some business. A place of desolation, what is this? This is a place where David prayed. This was a place where David praised. This was a place when David got along with God. You keep hearing your teachers and your parents say, God and I time, alone time with God. We hear it so much, it's almost ingrained in us, really. There's a reason for that. God does great things with people when he gets them off by themselves. I think about what God did with Moses. He had the law. You know, most governments, civilized governments in our world, based upon the Mosaic law. God did something great with Joshua when Joshua was by himself waiting on the man of God. He waited at the foot of the mountain. God did something great with Elijah when he was by himself. There's going to be some times where you need to be by yourself for God to get you alone and have some, not just you to have God and I time, but for God to have God and Brother Tony time. It was a place of, the place of preparation for David was a place of desolation. But it was also a place of development. Look what the Bible says in verse number 37. David is trying to give every reason of why he should go out, why he should be allowed to do some battle. By the way, let me say this to you very hurriedly in passing. Let us always give a reason why we should be serving the Lord and not. Rather than not. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, now the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. What was this? It was a place of desolation. It also was a place of development. He was developing some things in the background that God was going to be using later. Young people, please understand that God is developing something in you. I know we live in a digital world. Now we take a picture and there it is, but it wasn't always like that. Take a picture with one of those Polaroids. And I can see my mom shaking that thing. Does that even make it develop faster? I don't know. Just looks like somebody's got Tourette's. I don't know if it helps or not, but Mike Tyson would train 1,000 hours for one fight. Tiger Woods will hit 1,000 golf balls. Larry Bird, the greatest basketball ever played, best basketball player to ever play. Shut your mouth if you don't agree. In the name of Jesus. Or with this. Either way, I'll take it. Larry Bird. Long before anybody else got to the gym, he's in there. draining them. Long after everybody leaves, same thing. Why? He said, I don't have the natural talent that everybody else has. I have to work harder. You know what it is? Preparation. It's the place of preparation. The place of preparation is a place of desolation. Get alone with God. The place of preparation is a place of development. Listen, please, another way of saying it is this. The place of preparation is a place of paying your dues. You don't just show up and you're in charge. You don't just show up and just because you're you, you get to be the man. No, the place of preparation is a place of paying your dues. Proving yourself. No, that whole thing of entitlement. Oh, no. You don't find that in the Bible. What about the Apostle Paul? Please take your Bibles to Acts chapter number 26. We're going to go very quickly. Let me give you some with the Apostle Paul. For sake of time, let me just give you the first couple verses here. Paul is about ready to meet the Lord face to face. The Bible says in verse number 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Very quickly, he tells of his conversion. He tells of his call. He tells of the charges that are against him. Then he tells of his commission for the Lord. And then there's a direct challenge, his direct challenge. Verse number 26. For the king knoweth of these things where before whom also I speak freely, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Man, what a moment of greatness here. Think about all the great things in Paul's ministry, and this is a moment of greatness. But what comes before this? It's the place of preparation. The place of preparation. I want to ask you to turn there, just make mention of it. Acts chapter 9, we find Paul on the road to, say it, God struck him with what? Blindness. The Bible says when his sight came back to him, they preached Jesus. What a difference. He went from persecuting Jesus. So he wasn't really persecuting Jesus. He was No. Jesus said, why persecutest thou me? He went from persecuting Jesus to preaching Jesus. What happened? He had a time of preparation. What was that time of preparation? It was a place of darkness. A place of darkness. What is darkness, Brother Tony? It's something hard. If you haven't dealt with something hard yet, it's coming. It's coming. We joked about the school bill a little earlier, but the school bill's coming. And the school bill's going to keep coming. And everything else keeps on coming. It may be a difficult time with in the family. It may be that you have a ministry and it may be a difficult time in the ministry. I remember as a sophomore, when we still had all the classes still in the tower, I came to school one morning and man, I just so burdened about this teenager. Teenager that I have invested so much into his life and I loved him. I still love him. He took me to lunch a few weeks ago. He hadn't been to church in years. But he stepped away from the things of God and never came back. I remember if you walked in the front doors of the tower down there, I walked in that day, went to class. Here was chapel, was over here. Our first class was there. And then down here was the restrooms and some of the offices are down there and men's room is right there. I made it to class. I was so broken over this kid, this young man that promised me, Brother Tony, if you ever pastor a church, I'm going to be your youth pastor. We stood on top of the college. We looked out across there and we saw places, what we thought was places of Winter Haven. He said, I know God wants me to be a youth pastor. He hadn't been to church in 20 years. I went in that restroom and I just wept and wept and wept. Broken over him. It was a place of darkness. It was. I'm going to pinch some things down here. Let me just talk to you about Esther for a quick moment. I want to ask you to turn there for sake of time. Place of preparation is a place of darkness, of difficulty sometimes. Esther. You remember the story. By the way, it's not just the story. It really did happen. But Esther, if she didn't do something, there would be no nation of Israel if she didn't do something. Mordecai comes to her and says, Esther, we really need you to do something in this situation. Well, the king hasn't called for me now in 30 days, I think it was. And so she said, you know what we'll do? What we'll do is we'll go ahead and me and my maidens will pray and fast. We'll fast and pray and beg God to do something great here. And he does. And different opinions about what the great thing was. Haman on being hanged on the gallows that he actually prepared for Mordecai. That's a great moment. Haman, when he realizes that Esther was a Jew, shock. Or Haman, when he trips and falls over and he lands on top of her and the king comes in and sees this mess. Like, woo! All these are great moments. But I think the best moment is when she says this, I'm going to go in and see him, and if I perish, I perish. I think that was the greatest moment in all of it, really. You know why it was? It was a moment of decision. A moment of decision. I'm going to take you right back to that place all those years ago. Now, this was my second year of Bible college. We had, chapel speakers coming in that were just fantastic, man. I hopped in our church van at the time because I didn't have any gas in my truck that morning. I mean, I know y'all don't know anything about that. Drove the church van over here, got in there. Chapel speaker just the day before had preached about so many churches in America with no pastor. And that was weighing on my heart, man. I desperately did not want to leave Florida. And I desperately did not want to leave Winter Haven. I didn't want to leave Central Baptist. I sat down. I don't remember this kid's name. Y'all might remember him. He was on this freaky diet where he was on doing nothing but eating carrots and drinking carrot juice. And this kid, he was turning orange. I'm not joking. And he wasn't one of Trump's kids. He was turning orange. I sit down next to him. Y'all remember who I'm talking about? Y'all remember some of that? I think he is a part of the Bugs Bunny ministry these days or something. I sat down next to him. I can't even explain. I cry a little bit sometimes. I sit down next to him, man, I started crying just. And he looks over me like, "What's up with you?" I'm like, don't say anything, carrot juice. And I told him, I said, man, I'm snubbing. Y'all know what snubbing crying is? Y'all know that? When I don't get supper and God's moving in my heart, that's when I get that. Amen. I mean, I am snubbing crying. And I told this young man, I told him, I said, man, I'm so afraid. I've never told anybody this. Jeremiah, my nephew back there, and those teens back there with him, I never told them this. I told this young man, I said, listen, I'm afraid that when I graduate, God's going to move me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. You know what God did in the next few days? God beat me, and he beat me, and he beat me until I said, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Whether it's in Winter Haven, no matter. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I will. I'll just do it. And the Lord said, stay in Winter Haven. Stay at Central Baptist. I've got a job for you right there. That's where he wanted me all along. But what he wanted me was to bring me through the place of preparation. It's a place of decision where we say, God, you've got all the control. You've got all the control. Hey, listen, our time is done. I'm already past time. But listen, please. I don't know what it is that God has for you. But I will tell you this. If you're ever going to do anything that's going to amount to anything, you're going to have to be taken through the place of preparation. And it might be dark. It might be desolate. But you need to make some decisions for God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to determine in our lives that we want to do exactly what you want us to do. Nothing more than that, nothing less than that. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you, Lord, for those who are in leadership here. Thank you, Lord, for so many friends that point so many people in the right direction. Lord, I thank you for the pastor. Lord, I ask that you would protect him and his family. Watch over them. Dear friends, dear God, I pray that you would just please continue the work that has been here for all these many years. And what a blessing we see this morning. My goodness. Help us now, dear God, to continue in our leg of this thing we call the race of life. Lord, we love you again and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.